This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are moving on to a story that we've kind of, it's been percolating within our team for about a week because, of course, we remember the water woes that hit us, again, by surprise somewhat. And we thought, therefore, we would dig a bit deeper into the reasons behind why we face water issues. There were a number of different things being thrown up at the time. Some people saying that perhaps it's corruption, others talking about elements of sabotage. So we thought we would investigate this notion of corruption today.
Yeah, because this came through from SPAN Chairman Charles Santiago, and he said there needs to be an overhaul of the country's management of raw water resources, which also includes addressing corruption among enforcement officers and factory operators. And he also called for amendments as well to the constitution to give federal regulators more powers and oversight over rivers.
This is not the first time we're seeing problems with our rivers this year. YB Charles pointed out other cases like the Sungai Kim Kim and Simpang Renggam, saying these couldn't have happened without the knowledge of local councils and the Department of Environment. He believes that enforcement or authorities were being understaffed or paid to close one eye.
So he also said that the federal government needs to halt all economic activities along river channels, especially at its source, if it is serious about stopping water contamination. And of course, this is somewhat, you know, a larger discussion about how corruption actually impacts our daily lives. Because we, when we think of corruption, I suppose we understand it in very huge terms, things like billions of money gone, or we think about it in terms such as copy money, you know, that is paid to the authorities, things like that. But of course, as we see, corruption could actually have a very real impact on the way we live our daily lives, you know, things like water. So that's the angle that we're taking today. And we'll be speaking after this with Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International. If you have any thoughts, you can send them through WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio and call us at 7733-2900. And we'll be back after this. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's 7:15 and you are listening to Lynn, Ayman and Cam. And we've been talking today about, well, our water woes, the water cuts, the water shortages, unexpected ones especially. And there was some suggestion that corruption had perhaps something to do with it. So to understand these links, we're crossing over to Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia. Dr. Mohan, thank you so much for joining us. So what are your thoughts on SPAN Chairman Charles Santiago's statement that the unexpected water cut is a result of corruption between water treatment companies and authorities?
Yes. You see, he mentioned that this close one eye attitude and addressing corruption issues. I am not too sure, and he made the statement that he has any evidence at this point of time regarding the authorities and the company and so on, you know, for corruption issues between officers and so on. But nevertheless, if he does have, then it is best for SPAN to make a report to MACC to immediately do an investigation. Now, talking on this issue, I mentioned this about 2 months ago when we had the issue of waste plastic entering Malaysia in container loads. And I ran an article and asked the question, how can such huge number of containers of waste plastics declared as genuine plastics or approved plastics to come into the country can come through so many ports and without the knowledge of the gatekeepers? So when I say gatekeepers, I was referring to port authorities as well as the customs, you know. So the question that was raised was there any element of corruption involved, you know? So coming back to this water issue of in Selangor, this is where the Department of Environment must step up, you know, and their surveillance, because river pollution is a very sensitive thing, and especially in Selangor, if this is happening, then the Department of Environment has to come in and actually find out actually who are the polluters. Even in under the Environmental Act, even if there was a spillage due to negligence, the companies concerned, they are supposed to report spillage, you know, to the authority. So if they don't report, then they can be charged in court, you know. So personally, I fully support YB Charles Santiago's point that if there is an element of corruption involved, then the proper report should be done to the authorities and action should be taken from MACC and so on.
Would blacklisting and banning companies who have violated the systems be enough to prevent further cases like these in the future? Would an increase in fines be more effective deterrent?
Okay. I mean, if it is due to negligence and it was accidental, then they will be, what you call, have to pay the penalty, meaning that they have to pay a fine or a hefty fine or so on. But there are cases when if you ban these companies, normally it's best to be done after repeated warnings, you know, then it's appropriate to ban these companies, you see. But banning these companies is one thing. And based on the Environmental Act, the companies who are polluting the rivers and so on, the directors can be charged. And this is where the Department of Environment have to step up. They have to go very hard on polluters. And even if it is a first-time offense, the directors should be charged, you know, to either pay a fine or, according to the Act, they could be imprisoned, you know. So they should send a message, you know, as company directors, they have to be responsible, because especially if you are working near the river or your factory is connected to the stream and it's going to the river, and if it's going to pollute the river, and this is very serious. This is not the first time. It has happened so many times. So this is due to negligence of the companies and causing the spillage, or sabotage, if that is even worse, then the authorities like police have to step in and take action against them. So banning companies is one thing, but that's, I would say, after repeated warnings, then it's fair. When you say ban, they cannot operate with the business anymore. But the directors should not be left go scot-free. I mean, being a director, they have to be responsible what the company is doing. Fines alone doesn't seem to work, you know. And I think more tougher action should be taken.
So in this specific case, SPAN chairman Charles Santiago said that more federal oversight could have prevented this. What do you think of this statement?
You see, the federal oversight, yeah, could have helped in some way, but the point here is even at the state level or the operators of the water treatment plants and so on, if they have this negligent attitude, or I'm talking about even the authorities, if they don't supervise what is happening to these companies, if they whether they are in compliance and so on, then even if you have a federal oversight, it will not help, you know. But I think the issue of negligence and so on, the public also has to play a part, you know. I mean, if you see people are polluting the rivers and so on, public should actually help the authorities by actually giving the information, you know, pre-warn them. And today, with today's technology with WhatsApp and so on, you just take a photo and within a few seconds, the report is already gone, you know, and so on. So I think it is not a one person's responsibility alone, but I think the entire public, as well as the authorities, the officials, officers, enforcement units, they all have to play a part. So that this water disruption thing due to what you call sabotage or what, this is unacceptable. And it is hoped that the authorities will take appropriate action.
So would you say then that this makes a case for better procurement practices?
Okay, procurement, you talk about procurement practices, this applies in general for all organizations or government agencies, especially government agencies, both at state and federal level. I'm very sure they have by now a proper procurement procedures, you see. So when you talk about procurement, there has to be it has to be done in a transparent manner. And typically, through tenders, some could be open tenders, some could be closed tenders, depending on the values. And it should be done in a very transparent manner, meaning that when a project is to be done, there should be proper pre-qualification process. Pre-qualification process means that contractors who are qualified, who have the financial capability and who have the technical experience and skills, they are the ones should be invited to participate in the tender. And then, of course, the next process is evaluation of the tender. And in some companies, they have some organizations, or probably in the government, they have this system of two envelope system. What it means is one is a technical evaluation, and then they will shortlist bidders. So those who are qualified, they will move to the next stage, which is the commercial evaluation. Okay? So those who are technically competent and so on, they will go to the next step to review the commercial aspect, meaning that the tender price and so on. So it all should be done in a very transparent manner. There should be a tender committee for all this. And then the job is awarded. And there should be a strict timeline for this, because this process, you know, there are several steps and can take time. And projects should not be delayed because of this procedure. Sometimes, you know, we have these cases where direct negotiation is done. And very often we hear, especially in some of the government projects, you know, oh, this project is going to take a long time if you tender, so we do direct negotiation, you know. And at one time, you know, it was mentioned that 500,000 below, they can actually go for direct negotiation and so on. So these are loopholes. And therefore, tender is the best way to do a good procurement practice.
Can you give us other examples of how corruption can affect our daily lives and how it might hurt us in ways that we don't expect?
Well, you see, the let's take the water example. You know, when you have pollution happening or people are polluting, and if authorities close either one eye or both eyes, you know, and that is, could be due to corruption, then it's going to affect the normal people on the street and every one of us. Because if there is no water supply disrupted and because of somebody's negligence, then our daily life is affected. The other thing is price of goods, you know. Sometimes when we buy imported goods and so on, they can cost much more than the actual price, partly because of corruption. Because there's a lot of middle people involved that you need to pay to get your goods out probably from the for warehouses and so on. So that will end up in the price that the consumer will pay. See? I mean, of course, this happens everywhere and so on. But Malaysia is moving towards a nation that we want to see, a nation free of corruption and a society with integrity. We always look at the authorities to take action, but the public also has to play a part. Malaysians have to grow. They have to accept the fact that, you know, giving to solve problems or to speed up the process, this should be a no-no, you know, and there should be avenue for people to complain. Now, I see that this is being done in some private sector companies, that there is a whistleblower policy. There must be adequate protection given to whistleblowers. Even with our current Whistleblower Protection Act 2010 that we have, the Act is very narrow and very confined. Only if you report to several agencies, including the MSCC, then you get protection. So I think overall everyone has to play the part, you know, that they have to give their full support to the authorities as well as the government to report cases so that we don't condone corruption and never be afraid to speak up. That is a culture in Malaysia we are missing. People are very afraid to talk about it. They don't want to report and so on. So this is a change that we really need to see happening in Malaysia.
Dr. Mohan, thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us. That was Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia. If you have any thoughts, you can send them through WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You're listening to The Evening Edition, PFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.